I like kind of freak out when it comes to dating things. Like, I just can't really keep my chill. Even though I will present like my chill is very much kept together, it is not internally, but I have learned to express my chill as though it is in control. Like, I have a chill, and I really have no chill. If this is making any sense, if we're getting the chill analogies. Hi everyone, welcome back to the On the Rocks podcast. I'm your host, Vanessa Rock, and I've missed you all. It's been a while. Life has been a little crazy, so I am excited to sit down and give you guys an update. You guys have heard episodes from people who know more about dating than I do, and so now you're going to have to learn nothing about dating, but you'll listen to, whatever I have to say, whatever has been going on in my life, because I feel like that's important for this podcast. When I started this podcast, it was not dating focused. It was just like a place for me to talk about myself and talk to cool people that I know. And then eventually I started realizing that all we were really talking about was dating at the end of the day. Like, even when we would hang up the call, we would continue talking about their dating life or my dating life, and it just like always naturally came up. And it was like the most interesting part of the conversation, but it wasn't what was making it into the episodes. So that's why On the Rocks kind of transformed into a dating podcast and where it is today, where I talk to cool people who know more about dating than I do, and try to learn from them. Honestly, over the last year and a half, I have not been actively dating. I think I can count on one hand how many dates that I've been on, maybe two if I'm like, really stretching what I consider a date. And I just didn't make it a priority, even though I was talking about it and learning a lot about it. And I was in therapy talking about dating and like my previous experiences and all of those things, but I didn't really have anywhere to put all of the things I was learning into practice up until like the last couple of months when I've been like more actively dating and putting myself out there. So that's just embarrassing to even say. But I have been like, I think a lot of people, after being vaccinated and feeling more comfortable going out and about, have been like dating again, talking to guys on dating apps, like all of the things. And I'm not, not one of those people. I am also doing that. So I have actual input on my dating life, which you guys have not been able to like really get a good look into. So I have some thoughts, but I don't have like too many. But I have some. That's more than I had. All that being said, today in this episode, I want to give you guys a life update. I want to talk about some of the things going on and changing in my life personally, because a lot has been changing. And I feel like the last time I updated you, I was in a completely different place. And so we need to discuss. We need to discuss. I also want to answer some of your questions. Some of you guys have questions about my life or questions about yours, which I really want to get into. And I guess we can start off with this thing I didn't plan to talk about, but I just realized that it's fall, everyone. Hi, it's fall, and it feels like people are in a mad dash to find a relationship. And I think this all can be explained by cuffing season. So I wanted to go into this. I wanted to Google it. Let's talk about it. I feel like we all kind of know what cuffing season is, but like, do we really? Like, why are we like all crazy around like October, November about like dating and all of a sudden now want to be more serious than we were in the summer? Like, I just don't get it. So maybe Google will have some answers, because I need answers. So let's look at some of the headlines that are on cuffing season, because I think they're amazing. Okay. You're not gonna die alone. It's just cuffing season, Esquire. What is cuffing season and are there rules? We're going to read that article together because I feel like it could be a fun time and I feel like it will provide us with some content. I think context, I think we all know what cuffing season is. Like, none of us are like out here unaware. But I feel like there are some more details that like we skip over about why cuffing season is the way it is. This is the perfect article and like headline. All right. Cuffing season is called so because it describes the desire to be tied down or cuffed that often arises in the colder months. According to Urban Dictionary, the term first popped up in 2011. Quote, the cold weather and prolonged indoor activity causes you to become lonely. Even if commitment isn't your cup of tea, you might feel like you're yearning for romantic connections time of year. It makes sense that we would all actively seek out intimacy and connection during these times, says an expert. Studies have even consistently revealed that during the colder months, people experience a significant rise in testosterone levels, making them more likely to desire the company of a physical partner. Yep, cuffing a partner to get us through winter is evolutionary. Okay, so I don't think that there are really any rules to cuffing season, but it's just such a funny phenomenon to me that this happens, and it's like actually evolutionary, which makes me laugh because it does make sense. Like, it gets cold. We don't really want to do the same things we were doing over the summer, which means we have less distraction socially, which means we're like, okay, wait, am I single? I'm really single. Okay, I'm even more single than I was over summer, even though I'm the same level of single, because now people are really getting into their relationships, and I feel like when a lot of people have relationships and you don't, something inside of you just like switches and you're out to find a mate. Like, that's what it seems like to me. So I wanted to go through that because I think it's kind of funny. And also, I'm experiencing cuffing season. Like, I think I am like out here like, okay, I'm ready to date someone. Let's go. I wasn't even planning to talk about that, but I feel like it's just going to really set us off into this really interesting episode about my life, which is not as interesting as cuffing season. I could have done an entire episode on this. But interestingly enough, like, I feel like I don't usually get into relationships around cuffing season. Like, I'm already in a relationship around cuffing season when I have been in a relationship. It never has, like, come up around October, November, but it's like February, like when I start dating people, like right around Valentine's Day. Apparently, I don't ascribe to October cuffing season. Anyway, so my life, though, has kind of done a 180 lately, and I don't really know how this all happened because it's just kind of really picked up lately. And honestly, I don't think my life is the same as it was a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago. 3 months ago, like, since I graduated college, basically, I experienced the post-grad blues, and I've talked about that on the podcast before, but hit me hard, like, it hit me really hard, and I graduated during the pandemic, and also went into a job that really wasn't for me, and I stayed in for 6+ months, and really struggled in, and so I had, like, a lot of grief about my life because it just like wasn't where I thought it should be post-grad. Like, I imagine post-grad, this is like maybe 15-year-old Vanessa imagining where 23-year-old Vanessa would be post-grad. Okay, I imagined myself to be like in New York starting at some fabulous agency, you know, being a boss lady. Ew, I don't like that term, but like just being the coolest person ever. And I was stuck at home in a pandemic working on my computer on a project that like just wasn't serving me. And I was a mess. Like, I was not doing well. And I think there was a combination of the pandemic, of graduating college, of not liking my job, feeling very lonely, like all of the things. Like, it was just not a great time for me. And over the last 2 months, I've been on a job search and I've been starting to feel like I have more control of my life. I've been like more independent, especially my living situation, and just like starting to feel like things were like on the uptake. I was like, you know, oh, I see the light, girl. I see the light. And the light started to become a little brighter, and I started getting interviews, and it started becoming really exciting for me. And I was in the talks with a company for like about a month for a really exciting role that was like exactly what I wanted to be doing. And I was really nervous about that, but like it was like an opportunity and it was there. And eventually I got the opportunity. So I recently started a new job. Like, this is my first week. So I'll update you on how everything goes. I don't know much yet, but I'm like obviously diving right in and learning a lot. And so it's really exciting. Like, for me mentally, my anxiety has been lessened. I know it's only been a week, guys. Like, I know that things are going to change. My anxiety is going to manifest in other ways, I'm sure. But it's just been really exciting for me because this is exactly what I want to be doing. It's in the field I want to be in. And it's like the role that I want to have. So it is where 15-year-old Vanessa imagined herself post-grad. It just took me like 6 months to get there. I did mention earlier that I'd only been on like a handful of dates during the pandemic or just even recently. And I have learned a lot about myself in dating situations, and this is probably going to be like an overshare. So like if you've been on a date with me and you're listening to this podcast, just like whatever, I don't care. But since not dating for a while, when you get back out there and you date, it is like opening a can of worms that you would rather not open. It feels like, it feels so vulnerable. I like kind of freak out when it comes to dating things. Like I just can't really keep my chill. Even though I will present like my chill is very much kept together, it is not internally, but I have learned to express my chill as though it is in control. Like I have a chill. And I really have no chill, if this is making any sense, if we're getting the chill analogies. But like I was saying earlier, I learned a lot in the pandemic, and I've done this podcast, and I've heard a lot of interesting factoids about dating. I've listened to a lot of dating podcasts, whatever. And I don't think necessarily dating was a huge pain point for me before I made this podcast or before I entered the pandemic. Like, it just was dating. And as I've started dating after not dating for a year and a half, I'm starting to realize it kind of is a pain point for me because it's not natural anymore. It's not like I'm going on dates constantly where like I don't necessarily care if they go well or not. Like I'm going on one date a month, not even romantically, just socially. Like it was hard for me to be like, okay, if that didn't go well, cool. Like I can move on. I was having a bit of a harder time with that. And so my first initial reaction was to just like not care at all. Like there was no space between the like caring a lot and not caring at all. It was like no blank space. Like there was no room for error or growth there. It was like, I am going to care about this dating situation or I literally don't care at all. And that was like my first few dates post-pandemic. I don't want to even call it that. And slowly as I've gone on more dates, I think I can count on like now two hands how many dates I've been on, I am starting to find a middle ground. Like I'm starting to care an appropriate amount. And I'm proud of myself for that because I think that is kind of a challenge, even just socially, reintegrating myself. it is hard not to care, you know, and I think it's also not healthy to not care at all, right? Like you need to kind of care a little bit, but also like if it doesn't go well, like it's okay. So I found myself finding like my healthy rhythm of dating, and I think I am actually okay with where I'm at now. Like I don't have unrealistic expectations. I feel pretty level with my dating situations. I feel like okay about everything that's going on. I don't feel like overly attached to anyone or like not attached at all. Like I kind of feel like I'm right in the middle of like where I should be. And this is like, wow, so positive and healthy. Woo. Let's get into questions because I can't talk about myself anymore. I'm sure I will talk about myself in tidbits in these, but like I just am rambling. So a couple fun questions. We'll start with the fun one. Someone asked, which zodiac sign would you not date? And this is a fascinating question. I actually have a lot to say about this. So you guys know on my episodes where I interview people, I ask everyone what their AZL is, their age, their zodiac sign, and their location. It just kind of gives people like a background on who these people are. And I find zodiac signs fascinating. I know nothing about them, to be honest. I just know that I'm a Leo, and that's a very Leo thing of me to know. I actually have dated a few of the same signs, and they tend to be repetitive, and I don't know what the situation is. So now I'm going to talk about myself again. So let's discuss. So I've been in two long-term relationships. When I say long-term, I mean like over a year. And both of those people, I believe, from my recollection, were Aquariuses. I felt like they had similar qualities. Very different people, obviously. But they had some similar qualities that I think I was attracted to. They were both smart. They were both intriguing to me. Very intriguing and mysterious almost. I'm trying to think of what the actual Aquarius characteristics are like, but I just really don't want to look it up. But that's kind of like the vibe I got from both of them. Like I was very intrigued by them. They were smart. They were kind of quiet, both of them. And then I've also experienced a few Geminis in my life, and I don't know why this is the way it is. And I don't know if I like Geminis or if I don't, but I do have this one experience that I wanted to share because I've heard this term a lot that I kind of wanted to break into on this podcast. And so I wanted to explain the situation that I had with a Gemini. And I've talked about this situation on a podcast before. Multiple. It was the last situationship I had before the pandemic. And it was like a month-long thing that felt like a year. Straight up. It was a very intense, like, little situationship. At least that's how I experienced it. And I honestly had a hard time moving past it. And that was, like, a large reason that I didn't seriously pursue dating when I had the opportunity to in the pandemic. Basically, what happened was I met this guy. We went on one date. And after that date, I think I experienced a low-grade case of love bombing. And here's why. Let me tell you what this thing is. So love bombing can be very, like, intense. And that's not what I'm talking about here. So if you're interested in, like, what love bombing is in, like, a very legitimate way, you can Google it. But it's basically when someone overwhelms you with admiration and love in the beginning of a relationship and then immediately cuts it off. I don't want to put anything on him. I just think that this was kind of love bomb-y. It wasn't a love bomb. It was, like, love bomb-y. Little asterisk up there. So we went on one date. He texted me immediately after asking me to hang out again that night, which I didn't do. He asked me again the next day to hang out. He was texting me constantly. He had listened to every single episode of my podcast as soon as he woke up the next day. And he told me about it and, like, gave me reviews of each episode. And continuously told me how much he liked me, da-da-da. And at first, I'm going to be really honest, it really freaked me out. And I was so uncomfortable, but I was like, oh, like, he really likes me. Like, wow, I guess I should like him if he likes me this much, right? Like, okay. So I started playing into it and I started, like, going along with the bit. And he would, like, come over to my apartment, or he did this, like, one or two times where, like, I was busy and I told him I was busy, but he was like, no, I'm going to come over anyways. And, like, that was just, like, a clear, not cool thing to do. And, like, I just kind of felt like it was a little love bomb-y. I don't know what really happened there, but that's my recollection. And so when it got towards, like, the end of the situationship, I started expressing feelings back. I was like, yeah, like, I like you. Like, it feels like we're dating. It feels like we've been dating. It kind of feels, like, serious. And it's, like, only a month of us dating and talking. And all of a sudden, he just, like, cuts off his love bomb-y behavior and just, like, stops putting any energy and effort into anything. And, like, I don't know, it might have been something I did, I have no idea. But it was really hard for me after that point to understand, like, what happened. I was like, wait, he liked me so much, like, how did this change in 2 minutes? And so it was a really weird thing that happened. And I don't think that that's a Gemini thing, like, at all. I don't know what Geminis are about at all. I feel like some of their personality traits are that they can be kind of two-sided, not in a negative way, but they just, like, have two types of personality. I don't know. It's the twins that describe Geminis. And I've always, like, really liked Geminis, but that was just a weird experience I had with a Gemini. Let's look up the Leo compatibility and, like, who we're compatible with, and we'll see if, like, who I've dated in the past aligns to this. So I'm pretty sure it does. Compatible signs for a Leo are Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. So this is interesting. This is very interesting. Go me. I have dated people who I am compatible with. So to answer the question fully, apparently I am compatible with people I have previously dated, like Geminis and Aquariuses. But I don't have any preference. Like, I just don't. I don't know enough. And I want to clarify that. When I ask people what their zodiac signs are, I don't think I know what I'm talking about. Okay, so someone did ask me, what do I think some red flags are? And I wish I could answer this, but to be honest, I don't ever pay attention to red flags. Or I notice them, but I don't actually go, oh, I should, like, stay away from that person. I say, red flag, sign me up, let's go. It's a problem. I do think some red flags are if you're looking for something serious when someone just invites you over to their house, if they're just too casual at first, if they aren't consistent over text, if they're kind of secretive, if you just, like, don't have a good feeling when you're around them, if you don't laugh, like, all of those things. I think if you're looking for something serious, sure, but, like, do I listen to my own advice? No. So I actually had a really interesting question get asked, and I have some thoughts on this one. And this question was written by a man, and I think it might be interesting, as we were talking about cuffing season, to answer this question. So this question is, how do I know when someone is using me? And I think this is relatable to cuffing season because I do think sometimes people go into cuffing season not actually looking for a relationship, but looking for someone to fill that relationship need without actually providing like equal emotional output. So basically someone is like, I want someone to go apple picking with and cuddle with and like drink hot chocolate with, but like I will only do that on my time and like it's going to be on my terms. And so cuffing season is like a one-way cuff. You know what I mean? And that can be really negative. So I wanted to answer this question because I think it's interesting. How do I know when someone is using me? I think you know someone is using you when you have to ask if someone is using you. And I say that with love, but it's true. I think that a lot of the time we will see the truth and completely ignore it for our own benefit and sometimes our own detriment. I think when you're being used, someone is being untruthful and they're being manipulative in a way, right? And a lot of the time we crave that inconsistency because it's exciting and we're like, oh, how will this turn out? Maybe I'll stick around and find out. And we get ourselves really deep in a web of shit. And it's hard to like accept that, oh, I know that I'm being used, but like I'm gonna let myself be used. It's kind of just like, will you let yourself go through that, or will you set a boundary and say like, no, this is not how I want to be treated? So I think I use the example of cuffing season so lightly where it's like, oh, you know, someone's not putting full effort into something that you're putting full effort into because they just want someone around for the winter. Like, but I think it can be a lot deeper in a lot of situations. And I know this is a very complex issue, but I think it just comes down to like looking at yourself and being like, oh, how do I want to be treated? And like, how do I treat other people? Like, do I use other people? Do I value someone who uses someone else? Like, do I want that in a partner? And like, ask yourself those big questions, like sit down, like journal. This is a guy who asked this, you know, sir, get out there, journal, you know, start feeling like maybe you have some boundaries and start setting them. I'm kidding. I think it's very complex, I'm sure. But I say with love, if you have to ask, you are being used. And that is that on that. And one of the last things that I wanted to talk about in this episode, which I think is really funny because it's a meme I posted on Instagram, is another phenomenon of dating that has to do with intimacy issues that I'm realizing that I have and that have been pointed out to me in a recent dating situation. And it's this meme from Ellie Schnitt. She had a podcast and she's really funny on Twitter and like she's just like all around entertaining, you know what I mean? So I posted her meme on Instagram, on the Rockstop Pod Instagram, with a pretty cryptic, is that the word? No. Suggestive caption. So let's go over it. Let me give you a little bit of an insight into this post. So Ellie says, actually saving his number and putting his name in my phone instead of just remembering he's got a 331 in there somewhere is way too intimate for me personally. And my caption was, recently saved a man's contact info, not sure how to feel about it. So one of you asked what that was about, and I feel like, you know, it was cryptic, so let's talk about it on the podcast. Why not? It's about a man. but it's more so about my intimacy issues. I saw that tweet and was like, oh my God, did I tweet that? Like, well, how did this show up in my timeline? Basically, I've realized that I have a hard time saving people's numbers. And not even just men, but like most people, until like I know we have more of a friendship or relationship. And I think it's more of like a self-protection thing. But like I noticed a lot of people were messaging me about this and were like, yeah, I never save people's numbers until like I have to or like I need to. And I actually got brought up in a dating situation I was in where he was like, why haven't you saved my number? And I was like, I don't know, awkward. And eventually like sat down and I saved my number like in front of him to prove that I did it. And it was just like a really funny moment. He had to be there. So that's a little background on that Instagram story. I guess you have to follow the Instagram to get the cryptic messages to come to the podcast and listen. That's the only way I will tell you about my dating life and who I'm potentially dating or not dating. So I guess I'm like swaying you into go following the Instagram account on the Rockstop Pod. Anyways, I don't know if I'm making any sense. So I'm going to go now. I have a lot to edit out of this podcast, so that's going to take up the rest of my night, but I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I will keep you all updated. This podcast is bi-weekly and sometimes monthly because I am a busy woman and I just like can't handle all the things going on in my life, but I try my best with this podcast. So leave a review, iTunes, subscribe, like whatever you need to do to listen to this podcast if you want to hear more of my crazy rambles. So that is all for On the Rocks this week. Thank you for listening and following along on my life and dating journey in this episode and all of my thoughts on cuffing season, on saving guys' numbers, on post-grad blues, on zodiac signs I would not date, love bombing, all of the things. We've talked about a lot today. Hopefully I have content for future episodes because this one was really a lot. So that's all. I will talk to you all next time. Bye.